sunrise, there's a new sun arising in your eyes. Can I see a new horizon? Realize that that'll keep me. All right, man.
That's more than enough. Okay, cool. Dude, honestly, that's more than enough. Perfect, thank you, man. Perfect. No, perfect. I know it's a pain in the ass, man.
I know I'm blushing like crazy right now.
No, you did great. You did great. All right, thank you so much, man. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, man.
I'm so glad that you reached out, man. Yeah. I'm wondering, what was the spark? Or did you see a show recently or something?
You came across my Instagram feed through that funny dude, Steve.
Steve Mello.
Right, yes, yeah, Steve Mello, because I follow him, and all my friends from film, like a few of them, are constantly sending me his stuff through DMs because I'm Portuguese.
Yeah.
And so then I saw that he was on your podcast, and I thought a couple of times now. And yeah,
there might be a third one coming up soon too.
No, he's great, man. He's got great energy. And he's a funny dude. But then I thought, you know what? Like, I feel like I have a story to tell and a message that I'd like to convey.
Yeah.
And what I'd like to convey here, for the most part, is having the ability to reinvent yourself. I feel like I've done that a few times. Like even when I emailed you the first time, it was like personal trainer,
yep,
Liuna,
yep,
jiu-jitsu.
It was like a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, great, love to talk to this guy.
Yeah, and you know, it's all, it ties into construction. Liuna member, my dad's a Liuna member. But what I'd like to convey is having, if required, having the ability and the confidence to reinvent yourself. And
at any age.
At any age, man.
How young are you? Are you my age or what's going on here?
I'm 51, dude.
I'm older than you, bro.
Yeah, but not by much, I'm sure.
I'm 53, man.
53, so.
Yeah, no, so I get what you're talking about, man.
Because this might have been a reinvention here,
of
right?
Of course.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it all got started, right?
Yeah. That's great, man. And kudos to you because, you know, podcasts are, I mean, I was telling Otto here that I listen to Joe Rogan all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a great way to get your information, you know, from sources other than the mainstream, right? So, man, I'm excited to be here, and you know, I work with a lot of young kids. I've been teaching jiu-jitsu in Peel School Board for friggin' 14 years now, right?
Well, what got you into it?
My brother-in-law's brother got me into it. So I was one of the first 100 members at the Extreme Couture on North Queensway.
Okay.
One of Toronto's first MMA gyms.
Back little warehousey kind of area.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I started my MMA sort of schooling there and trained with a bunch of killers, guys that are in the UFC, like Misha Serkinov.
Were you totally like shit intimidated when you got started?
I was intimidated to a degree, and my excitement overcame whatever sort of anxiety that I may have felt, just like being here today.
It passes, I promise you, it does pass.
Oh,
man.
It does, man. Like, and I was telling Otto too, like, you know, I'm in front of Toronto's top interior design firms and architectural firms, and I'm presenting in front of 30, 40 designers sometimes or architects. And like, I don't feel nervous. You know, there's a little bit of like, you know, maybe a touch of anxiety, but what I'm doing is simple for me because, you know, I'm a pork chop, and I'm here to let people know that we have a high level of craftsmanship.
Yes.
And, you know, our price hasn't quite caught up to our level of craftsmanship. That's changing, and I think what's changed that is tourism, right? People are in Portugal now. All eyes are on Portugal, and they're seeing what we do, right? They're seeing the facades. They're seeing, you know, buildings made of limestone that are like 500, 600, 700 years old. Yeah, so you'll notice.
We got a lot to talk about. I got to introduce everybody.
Right? Trust me, because I'm like ADHD, dude.
It's all good. So. But maybe, we'll just close it. I just want everybody to know. So basically, we're going to talk a lot about the Portuguese products that you are presenting, which are a lot to do with stone and ceramics and a lot of about the Portuguese culture, where it all came from there. And trust me, man. When you first sent me this, you sold me at just Portuguese. It was mm-hmm. as simple as that. Like, mm-hmm. I want to see more of that stuff in our supply chain. I totally want to see more of
awesome.
It because I think that there are amazing products out there, and for whatever reasons, it could be logistic, it could mm-hmm. be political, it could mm-hmm. be whatever. They're not coming here as much, mm-hmm. and I get it. But we'll talk a little bit about that. Yeah. But I'm curious about the whole IATSE because you're back part of my old world as well too, which I'm still connected to somehow.
Right.
And then also, yeah, you get in front of camera, you teach kids and you're learning the jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff to talk about here, right? To reach you is basically under PortugueseProducts.ca, right? Is a website.
Correct.
And then also your email is Nuno@PortugueseProducts.ca.
Correct.
And then on IG, it's under the same handle, right?
That's right.
Under Portuguese Products?
Yes, Portuguese Products, yeah.
That's what it is. And that's it. So I want to do a quick shout out to Phil. He's in Miami now. He started Heavy Duty Homes here. He still has an office here. But like a lot of people, they left this territory for a bunch of reasons that they didn't agree with. And I don't fault him and I commend him. And he's setting up shop there. He's been doing it for a few years. So I'm wearing his Heavy Duty Homes Miami shirt.
Nice.
And I have a lot of respect for him. And it's kind of funny, when I first met him, he modeled his business off of my business.
Okay.
And I was like, dude, you're doing much better than I am. Mm-hmm. I got out of the business because I got tired of clients not paying me anymore.
Right.
Right. And that's the same song that we always hear.
I've heard it many times.
And that's part of the reason why this show started. And I just wanted to share and educate to the next gen. Try not to do the same mistakes that I made.
Excellent.
And make your own mistakes, hopefully smaller mistakes.
Yes.
And then I want to do a quick shout out to a buddy that reached out to me that I haven't spoken to in a bit, Zach from Righteous_Contracting. And he just sent me a message. He was saying that, man, it's been 3 years since I've spoken to you. He's out of, he was originally in Chicago. I think now he's in Minnesota. And he was just sending me a message. And then I said to him, listen, Zach, let's just schedule a time to call. And we scheduled a time. I spoke to him. And it was as if we didn't like 3 years passed. That's exactly how it works.
That's how you know.
And then he's like, man, I can't believe you're at 700 plus shows and all the different shows you're doing, and you're doing mental health, you're doing Joe shows, you're doing all kinds of shows. And I was like, dude, I just want to talk to tradespeople, man.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a construction life going on, and it's not always about swinging the hammer, to be very honest. And I guarantee you, most of these men are probably going through shit that they don't know how to handle, mm-hmm. myself included, mm-hmm. and we're just trying to help each other. Simple as that, right?
Amazing.
So you said all the right things. I would have gotten you on, like, if you just said one word, I would have got you on the show. Simple as that. I wanted to meet you, and now we are, and we're going to talk.
Likewise. Thank you, Manny.
Don't worry about the ADHD. We'll figure it out. Anybody else
can ring
figure
me
it
in.
Out. No, it's all good. So we were talking about the training, the jiu-jitsu, starting from there.
Okay.
And then, how did the whole Portuguese thing started with the products? How did that start at the same time?
No. The teaching jiu-jitsu in high school started back in 2008. It was a tough beginning, trying to make it so that it was like a viable way to make a living. It took up until about 2012, 2013, where I can say, like, okay, I can make a somewhat of a business out of this. And and at that time, I was working on I was doing manhole repair in the union, in Luna. And I did that for 4 years. So I would do that for the bulk of like May through right up until November.
Okay.
And my bosses were cool. They'd let me go. And I'd start my school program, and I'd run my school program right up until the next season, pretty much.
Nice.
I've always had really cool bosses, and that sort of, you know, encouraged me. And till this day, man, we'll get into that. Bosses that were like, they want to see me, you know, succeed and you know, touch these kids' lives, right? It's been super rewarding working with kids, and I'd been doing that right up until COVID. During COVID, obviously everything went, and I was in Portugal in 2022, and I thought, I don't want to be tied to a space where I need to be somewhere like between this time and that time in order to make a living. So right now I work from home pretty much, and there's a lot of emailing. If I have to go meet somebody, I'll go meet somebody. If there's a presentation, I'll schedule a presentation. But I feel like I'm on the cusp of being able to like work remotely almost, right? And that's kind of what I wanted. That was kind of my vision, because you know, you don't know if this shit's going to happen again, right?
Well, you don't know if tomorrow's going to happen.
Yeah, well, right? That too.
So it's kind of, it makes sense. Are you planning eventually going to Europe and staying in Europe?
Yeah.
That's the goal, right?
That's the goal. That's the goal.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's I think when you get to our age, you start thinking about final acts.
Yeah.
Right, but they're not necessarily final acts, right? You can't tap out just yet because you've seen a lot of.
I like
you
that.
You can't, right? That's just the truth of it. But a lot of people, unfortunately, will choose a career and they just tap out early, and they're like, "This is I've got friends that are like that. They love their safe, secure, punch the clock. They were loving the pandemic years,
right?
They could work remotely and just pretend that they were working. And this is, I'm talking about all banking people, people, right? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
I never understood those people, right?
Yeah.
Because we come from construction. Entrepreneurship, where we make our own hours. But I agree with you how you start questioning how tied up do I want to be? And then if there's other ways that I can actually still make a living, survive, be happy, but somehow move that be happy first and then make a living and survive, right?
Absolutely. And happy is one thing that I am right now.
Good.
Having the ability to promote Portugal in the way that I am to, you know, people who are not Portuguese, right? For example, the tile company. The tile company is 176 years old now, right? And having the ability to promote a company that is that old with that much history that is like my history, right? Yeah. You're Portuguese, our history, it's an honor. And so I'm at all the big architectural firms, interior design firms, like I said.
Did you approach them first?
Yeah.
Really?
I approached them, and now people are approaching me. Now Portuguese companies are approaching me.
Were they looking for you?
Nope.
But now they see the value in you.
Yes. It was just like, I mean, not on a whim, because I had thought about it. I have a cousin in Portugal, Rui. Big shout out to Rui. He's like a mentor to me. And he sort of gave me a list of companies that I should approach. And when I did my research and I came across Viva Lamigo, I was like, I'm sold. Like, you know, this company has been working with the top artists and architectural firms, design firms in the world. And, you know, they still make our traditional tiles, which very few companies do. You know, there's that old, it's on my Instagram. There's that old church in Porto that everybody takes pictures of.
Yeah.
With the, you know, the blue and white tile, you know, all that.
It's Portuguese.
Very religious, right?
Yeah. I love those tiles.
That millions of people take photos of. That's our mural.
Yeah.
Capela das Almas. And, you know, just, you know, working with Alvaro Siza, David Chipperfield, Kengo Kuma recently. It's like, these are the top names. So I thought, you know what, like if I approach companies here in Canada, knowing that we've worked with these individuals, like this is going to be a no brainer. And,
was it easy? Was it welcoming when you started approaching?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
They saw the value. Now Canadians and Americans are going to want this stuff in their homes, their projects.
Manny, in the States in the 80s, there was a company called Country Floors. They're still around.
Okay.
They used to buy 3 containers a month of Viva Lamigo tiles, okay, in the 80s, because that motif was very popular. The popularity of the motif kind of waned, and, you know, things changed, right? But now that motif is on the rise again. It's being used differently, more artistically. Maybe not an entire wall, just sort of like, you know,
creatively.
Exactly. Yeah. Great. So yeah, man, I reached out to them, and, I had a meeting with, Miguel, who comes to Toronto once in a while. Amazing dude. We ironed out a little deal, and man, I've just been going gangbusters, and it's been tough, right? It's been tough in the sense where, It's taken a while for it to gain traction.
Is it because of clientele, or is it because of designer resistance to try to present it to clientele?
Toronto is saturated. Toronto's saturated
there's
with
a lot of products.
So many products, and you know, it's just a matter of sort of enlightening these folks to what the benefits are of working with us. Mm. We're artisanal.
Yeah.
We're not engineered.
No.
The factory is not large. It's a large artistic residency, but very small factory. We employ about 70 or 80 people, and we're in Sintra, right? So, you know, it's been, but there are designers who totally understand what it is that we have that others don't.
Attention contractors and construction professionals. Do you feel like your expenses are way too high? Imagine cutting your spending by 28%. At Schooley Mitchell, they dig deep to help you save on essential expenses that could be impacting your bottom line. Their risk-free analysis allows you to concentrate on your trade while they find those savings for you. Don't let extra expenses keep you from achieving the success you deserve. Reach out today to schedule your risk-free analysis and unlock your savings. Find them at www.schooleymitchell.com/office/AEGIUGGIO/about. Or reach out to them at erica.jugio@schooleymitchell.com. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Right.
You can't find it elsewhere.
No, not.
And like, I know that the majority... I'll upset them. The Mungie cakes here in Canada, they'll probably think it's a comparison to Spanish culture. And I was like, right. It's not.
It's not.
Right?
It's not. And interestingly enough, we've done work where there's a style of tile called Mosa Arab, and it's sort of brought over from when the Iberian Peninsula was an Islamic caliphate, right? Because we were an Islamic caliphate for almost 700 years. Yeah. People don't know that.
There's right? a lot of history.
Yeah, yeah, people forget that, right? And, you know, that occupation, you know, that was the Reconquista. And we sort of got our lands back. And but what was left behind was incredible architecture and technology like tiles. So there's, you know, there's a silver lining around everything, man. And, you know, for example, in the big earthquake in 1755, the one part of Lisbon that survived was the Moorish Quarter, right? It survived because of their arches, right? Like, come on, man. That's
structurally sound. Yeah,
you know, the Moor Castle in Sintra, we didn't knock it down, right? It's there. It's there to, so we could remember, you know? You know how things now are like, knock it down, change the name.
I wouldn't mind an earthquake or two here. You know what I mean? In certain places, I wouldn't mind it.
Right.
As long as the people all leave and just the structure collapses, right. I'm good with that.
Fair enough.
There's a lot of crap that's being built, right?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Oh, yeah. Right? No,
yeah.
I know. And I'm, you know, I'm privy to all that sort of information too. But yeah, man, it's been incredible. And even the natural stone, Portuguese natural stone, is world renowned.
Yeah.
And we've had presence here in Canada, like, you know, for many years. There have been a few pork chops that have tried their best to, like, you know, make a go of it. But my approach was different. My approach is I'm not importing this stuff. I'm a B2B, right? So I make the connection. I get paid a commission.
Yep.
It's simple as that. So I make a connection with, let's say, you know, a company that warehouses and sells slabs, right? I'll reach out to that company and let them know that we have Portuguese limestone. That's not just limestone, but marble as well. Dimpomar.
And from Portugal?
From Portugal. So really? we sell stone from Portugal that's quarried in Portugal. And we also have a warehouse near Lisbon that is filled with natural stone from all over the world. So we warehouse natural stone from all over the world and ship it worldwide. And obviously we quarry natural stone from Portugal. And every product that I, because I'm selling a furniture line as well, Wewood Portuguese Joinery, everything that I sell is Portuguese related. Because when I step into a room and I'm able to tie my identity to the product, it's simple for me. If I, like, I've been approached more than three times now for jobs. And like, it's like, man, am I going to sell like this product that I don't have any connection with? Like, now I'm getting into that realm of like, oh, I'm doing something else that I don't want to be doing.
Yeah.
If it's Portuguese, like I'm Portuguese. Yeah. If it's Portuguese, like, you know, people are from wherever they are, like, fair, but I'm Portuguese. I want to put Portugal on the map. Okay. Portugal's, if Canada's bad, Portugal is at least 10 times worse.
Really?
At least 10 times worse. Okay.
I didn't think that.
At least 10 times worse. If you think there's a real estate bubble here in Canada, you should see the greater Toronto, greater Lisbon or greater Porto area. It's horrible, man.
Yeah, my plans are to go to the islands. I want to go to the islands.
Right? It's happening in the islands too.
It's happening, right?
Yes. Wow. Like Madeira, okay? Madeira's super popular. Not just Madeira. I know architects here that have bought homes in well, San Miguel.
Imagine San Miguel being, yes. Yeah, because that's the number one tourist island there.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize it was just bad. But I want to go back to,
sure, like, sure.
You're not selling things on the basis of a price. You're selling things on the basis of a culture.
There's a huge difference, right?
That's
a great way to put it.
And that's how I was in the beginning of construction, is that I was selling things on the basis of passion.
Yes.
What I was interested in building. Mm-hmm. And I just hoped that it aligned with the clients that wanted to pay for that work.
Yep. Yep.
That's what it, and then once you, I agree with you, once it got to just a transactional, then I started like, well, I'm giving up now. I really don't want to fight for this now. Yep. Like, you want the same thing over and over. And I, like, you probably have heard on some of these shows, and a lot of people have heard a lot of these shows, I have my hatred towards certain products that are the mainstay in a lot of North American construction.
Yep.
And we're just an extension of the Americas, right? Where it's like, a lot happens in the States, happens in Toronto.
Yep.
I've been in enough Toronto homes. They all look the fucking same. I just, like, you have no identity here.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that if you got a couple, whatever, they could be different cultures. They could be the same culture. I think that your dwelling should have some sort of identity attached to your culture. That's why it was interesting when I was talking to John, where you brought it up before the show. And we talked a lot about, I asked him about that front door experience.
Right.
I asked him about like that. And most people just choose this door, not realizing how they should be more attached to this door.
The front door is everything. It is literally the identity of the people inside it.
When I travel, and I haven't traveled in a little bit, but even when I was in Turkey last year, I look at architecture, I look at doors, I look at woodworking, I look at structures that are over there. Fortunately for me, we ain't talking decades old. We ain't talking centuries old. We're talking thousands of years old.
Like Quebec and Templi.
And you're like looking at this going, like, that's just connecting to culture, man.
Yeah.
And that's what we need more of.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I need a bunch of green roofs with roosters on their front porch.
Of course not.
In Ossington and stuff. Like, I'm not talking about that. I miss my parents for doing all that kind of stuff, painted brick and all this other stuff. That was just like the kind of Portuguese that we grew up on.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it. But inside of it, there was a smell of culture. There was like things were done a certain way and you respected that. And I think with the kids of today that are in construction, you guys can take it to a whole new fucking level now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You should be embracing the history, mixing it with the present, and to be looking forward to the future with it, man.
100%.
Based on culture. So if it's Portuguese, Italian, Spanish, whatever it is, based on culture.
Dude, everybody loves Italian, right? Italians, I mean, some of the most popular brands, most successful brands are Italian.
Yeah.
Right? For cars, for you name it, you know, clothing. Their products are amazing, but they know how to market themselves. Okay. And that's what we don't do.
But they market on culture.
But that's what we haven't done as Portuguese people.
I agree. I totally agree with you.
And there's another element, right? Like they're, you know, Jewish folks, Italian folks, they're back to back. There's infighting, but they're back to back when it's anyone else. Right.
Yeah.
But they infight.
Yeah.
Like family.
Yeah.
Right. But they just have each other's back. And for us, it's
not like that,
man. Like, it's disheartening. It breaks my heart, Manny.
Like, when there's hatred, it stays hatred.
It might not even be hatred. It could be just, I don't even know if it's jealousy. Like, I can't even really pinpoint it. Right. And I've been fortunate to, like, cause I've reached out to certain, more influential Portuguese, businesses.
Okay.
And, you know, they've been very helpful and, you know, very helpful. But there have been others where, like I get ghosted. And it's like, I know what I'm bringing to the table. Like, this is the best that Portugal has to offer. Okay. That tile company is the best that Portugal has to offer. The natural stone company is the best that Portugal has to offer. So I don't know what the problem is. Right. Anyways, we don't market ourselves the way we should. And the fact that, like, you have me here, we're here having this conversation, this is what we need.
Yeah.
Right. Like, this is what we need. And, you know, I'm hoping that it's a matter of time that, we sort of are able to, like, but it's a well-known fact, right? Like, it's a very well-known fact that we have that crab in a bucket mentality. And that fucking sucks, man. Like, it's disheartening, man. It breaks my heart, dude. You know, it breaks my heart. So what's my mission? Break that down. Right.
First, are you using anything that you can to connect with people to do it?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Anything that I can, right? Like, I'm working on a few restaurants here. I got a very high profile restaurant that's opening up very soon. I don't want to mention it yet. But not Portuguese.
What neighborhood? Just say, can you say the neighborhood? Or will I know right off the bat what it is?
Well,
don't say it if you don't have
yeah,
to.
Yeah. I'm going to let it kind of.
And I do love restaurants because when it comes to restaurants, that's when contractors and designers and suppliers, they can pony up some really good ideas, man. And which really blows my mind again, because everybody goes to these restaurants, is in awe of what's there, whether they see tile like that or stone like that. And then you start hearing the story. And if you're nice enough to find out who the owner is or who the chef is or who the staff is and start asking them, where's this from? And then you find out where it's from. And then you go home and you make a white shaker kitchen with stupid quartz on it, like porcelain crap with white oak boards on the floor. And I'm like, if you love that so much, why are you not putting it in your house?
That's the question I ask myself all the time. I talk to a lot of designers and they're always in awe of what they see when they visit Portugal, right? They're like, oh my goodness, like, I can't even believe. They post about it, blah, 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 blah. And then they have an opportunity to use it. Manny, I'm not even talking about, like, the traditional motif. That aside, I'm talking about our modern tiles, right? I don't get it, but that's my job. My job is to inform people, to, you know, educate people on why having these tiles will differentiate and set your place apart from others. Viuvila carries its own cachet.
Yeah.
The people we've worked with, the companies we've worked with, the artists we've worked with. The brand is a heavy brand.
Which countries over there are embracing Portuguese?
Over where?
Over in Europe. Like, are there other?
Of course, man. Belgium.
They're embracing it, right?
Oh, of course. Belgium, France, Scandinavia. We have murals all over the place, right? Because one of our specialties is murals.
So it ain't logistics that they're basing it off of. No, it's not logistics. Because getting that stuff from there to here is probably just as, like, I've been told, and this is probably true as well, it's easier to ship to the US than it is to ship across Canada.
Right.
Cost effective wise too.
Yes.
So don't talk to me about logistics, right? Yep. It's just like the North American mentality has this way of how they want to build their structures, especially residential structures, right?
Yeah.
And then I find in Europe, everyone travels and they go around and they're photographing the hell out of everything that's beautiful. And then they refuse to do it at home, man. So it's like Europe is embracing it. I know they're way too conservative. Yep. And they're looking for a for sale sign on the house.
Yeah. So Europeans are trendsetters.
Yeah.
Americans are the first to follow those trends.
Yep.
So kudos to them. And then we follow whatever the Americans do.
Canada has its chance because I grew up in multicultural. I used to joke all the time. The group of friends of mine were the UN, basically. Mm-hmm. It was one of each, right?
Yep.
I was the white guy, European.
Yep.
And then you had a bunch, you had Asian, you had Caribbean, you had all kinds of there, right? Mm-hmm. And we just shared our cultures. We just, that's how, and we connected.
Yep.
Connected really well. I don't know if that's today though, or if everybody now, their group of friends are all reverted right back to hanging out with all the same culture. I don't know. I don't hang out with that many kids. You hang out with more kids than I do because of the classes, right? So
yeah, well, I mean, in the schools and from what I hear, it's still not very different. You know, I went to West Toronto. I don't know if, do you know Toronto?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know exactly.
I went to West Toronto. It was a multicultural school, but, you know, everybody still was cliquey with their own people, right? Like,
But that would have been like late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, but still, man, it's still like, you know, when I'm in Brampton, there's a, you know, it's heavily populated South Asian.
Of course.
So it'd be hard to tell.
Yeah.
Because like the majority of the student populace is South Asian. But, you know, teachers tell me stories about things. And it's not unlike when we were kids or when we were in our teens. It's odd how those things don't change. People still want to, they still gravitate to hanging out with people they can identify with. But like you said, like me too, man, like all my friends were Hispanic, Black, maybe other pork chops once in a while, white, you know, like, and it was great. It was amazing. 'Cause whenever like, we needed like someone to like sort of be the forefront of something, like we pushed that.
You go to a certain neighborhood. Yeah, we got an interpreter here.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
That kind of mentality,
yeah,
right? Exactly. It's like, dude, I don't even speak this language. Yeah, but you look it and you'll fit in and you'll bring us along.
Yeah, exactly.
As simple as that, right?
Yeah, man.
And I did the same thing in construction.
Right.
I actually loved it. Like, mm-hmm. I loved when I was pooling sub-trades together to do work.
Right.
And I would meet somebody, whether it was on DMs or just an email or a cold call or whatever, someone who recommended somebody.
Yeah.
I didn't really care what the name was or who it was or what their culture was. And when they showed up and they weren't everybody the same,
yeah,
I was embracing it. I was loving it. I was like, this is great. And then you would have a mixed bag of different people, mm-hmm. on the job site connecting through construction.
Yes. And through jokes.
Yeah. All kinds of jokes.
Oh, man.
Three-way the world, these little puppies. I'm speaking from experience. I've actually installed these and I love these. Three-way prefabricated inside drywall corner, the first one-piece solution for perfect, crisp corners every time. With three-way, you'll improve your quality, save on labor, and cut down on time. Traditional methods require three tapes, lots of sanding, and high skill. But with three-way corners, they install in just a fraction of the time with fewer steps. It is adjustable for any angle, reinforced to cover gaps, and designed to blend seamlessly into the corner. Say goodbye to pesky touch-ups and hello to flawless finishes. Try three-way today and revolutionize your drywall game. Perfect corners every time. To purchase or check out some how-to videos to see the installs in action, visit threeway.ca or connect with them at 306-514-3768 or drop them an email at threewaytheworld@gmail.com. Connect with me, TCL, and stop by the studio and get a free pack on us for anyone to try. And trust me, I'm telling you, you'll love it. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Like, yeah. In film, like one thing that that we do a lot of is joke, man. Like we're on.
Can you still do it today?
Yeah, we still do it.
Film, so I wasn't in. I got a film as a techie. I got out of film. It would have been 2009.
Right.
Well, 08, because I was directing at that time, right? So, okay. Yeah, it would have been 07, 08. I got out as a techie, and then I was directing all the way up until 09 to 2010.
Amazing. That's great, man.
Right? And then, but then I was dating somebody recently, and she's in film, mm-hmm. and she was telling me how it's just different now.
It is different. it's definitely
I don't think I would survive. I think I would be sent to HR quite a few times. But I got friendly with producers, right? So I might be able to get away with some of this shit that I was pulling off.
And many people get sent to HR. Right. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's, man, it's difficult to navigate sometimes, but I'm on a crew that like, it's a multicultural crew. Everybody understands that when we joke, we joke.
Yeah.
And,
it's all done out of what we care.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And exactly. And you know, this crew that I've sort of galvanized with, we've been together for almost 10 years. I've known these guys for almost 10 years. So like everybody knows there's no malice, man, right? Like there's no fucking malice. We make a joke. Like, dude, I'll give you an example. We were on a show and there was some concrete that needed to be done.
Okay.
Well, what do you think ensued? Of course.
I'm
the concrete guy.
Exactly. Right?
And I have a history of, I've done curbs.
Do you have some in your car right now?
Can you, like, you brush your teeth with it?
I know.
Guys are sending me, when you went to school, it was they have the wheelbarrow on their back. Like, dude, all the jokes ensue, man. And it's, man.
You got a safety vest in the car.
Exactly.
Come on, all that shit. We get it.
Laugh, man. It's all in good nature and it's amazing, dude. It makes us better friends, to be quite honest, you know?
Simple as that.
Yeah. So like, you know, it's been interesting with, you know, I guess educating, people in the interior design world on the value of Portuguese tiles and, that we're not just traditional tile makers. All our tiles are hand painted.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the natural stone, like I was saying with regards to, our quarries and natural stone from all over the world, like we're doing well, man. We're doing better, right? In the States, we're doing much better. In Canada, we're starting to gain some traction.
Are we much better? Are you guys better in the States just because by population? There's more people there to choose, right?
Well, it's like going back to what you were saying about the geography. Like Portugal is on the most western edge of Europe.
Yeah.
Like our Lisbon port is like,
yeah,
right? So people are like shipping to the United States and Canada. It's quite simple. You know, a container filled of full of stone, 2,300 euros, you know.
Either to Montreal or either to Boston. It exactly. gets to both countries, right?
That's right. That's right.
Simple, right?
So, you know, during COVID, that went up to like $6,000.
Yeah, it was stupid.
It was ridiculous. Cost of
containers. It was just greed, pure capitalist.
Yeah, exactly.
I get it.
Yeah.
Take advantage. I understand.
I mean, we get it, but we don't like it.
No.
But now things are actually lower than pre-COVID. So, and like I said, our pricing is not comparable to our craftsmanship just yet. So people are, if they're smart, they get in on it now, right? Because within 10 years, that gap is going to shrink.
Yeah.
Right. And it's because people like you, people like me who are out here, you know, being a voice of, and, you know, promoting, products from a country that does things just as well as, you know how many private label things are done in Portugal?
Well, I can imagine.
You know how many times it's our marble and it's, you know, presented as if it's not our marble from other countries, our limestone? Like, come on. So we need
Have
to.
Have you been to Circe?
No.
You haven't been to Circe in Bologna?
No, I haven't.
I wouldn't mind. I want to see if I can make that happen for me this year.
I've
always wanted to go there ever since I was hanging out with quite a bit in the tile shops or the stone shops. Mm-hmm. And they've always told me about Circe. And I've been to Bologna before, right? Because, you know, Ducati's there, Lamborghini's there, everyone's there, right?
Yeah.
But I was there vacationing there because a friend of mine, we got together and we actually just did the northern side of Italy.
Nice, nice.
And it was nice. We were going there and then I heard about Circe. Mm. And I'm like, Circe is like the tile stone.
Yes.
It's not as, it's a good show. It's a big show, but you get a lot of European influence there. So I can only imagine that there must be some heavily Portuguese influence there.
There's what we do as Portuguese is we have a Portuguese pavilion. Okay. This happened here.
Just like the Chinese pavilions here.
Dude, man. Really? So like 2 years ago, there's a natural stone show called Stone Tech here in Toronto.
Yeah. I know you're talking about.
Yeah. And, Dimpomar is like one of the bigger ones, if not the biggest in Portugal. And I mean, there's a French company that's quite large, but they're as a Portuguese company, like solely Portuguese, it's probably the largest. And when they make a move, all the little guys are like, we gotta go with him.
Middle fish.
And the Portuguese government steps in and subsidizes a lot of the cost. So we have a booth, but we have a booth now with five other Portuguese companies, like all like this in one section, right? It's like,
doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And that happens at Coverings. Coverings is another very large stone and tile huge. Show. Yeah. Huge.
So I've been to it. It's a nice show.
We're at Coverings every year. That's what happens. Like,
have you spoken to the Portuguese government? Have you gotten to the point where you're actually communicating with them?
Of course, over here.
Do they see the value?
Yes.
Well, you've spoken to them on this side.
No, I've spoken to them on this side.
Well, what about the other side?
On the other side, no, but these companies speak to them, right? So that's sort of their backyard.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's probably a good idea for me at some point to reach out to them myself, but they know the companies I'm working with, right?
Yeah.
They know the people that I'm speaking to on a daily basis. Here the Portuguese consulate's been helpful. We had a visit at this year's Stone Tech was horrible show, very few visitors. But the gentleman who runs the Portuguese consulate, one of them, Raul Tavares, he came visit and he gave me a list of Portuguese gentlemen here that are doing things here in Toronto, and not just in Toronto, in Canada as well. So he was helpful there. But like they're doing a lot of what I'm doing, like, but not, they don't represent companies. They represent the country. So it's, they're business developers. They hold even the same, whatever you want to call it, business name, right? Okay. 'Cause I'm a business developer.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know, man.
They don't see the, like, what I'm trying to go with is, okay, so earlier on you were saying that if it's bad here, it's 10 times worse there. Mm-hmm. But I was under the impression that Portuguese government has a little bit of money, or they've been abusive with their money, like the same way a Canadian.
Dude, you don't know the Portuguese government, dude?
It's bad? It's bad? Like really, really bad?
Dude, it's bad. Okay, we had the dictatorship, right? And after the dictatorship, we almost had a communist coup a few months after, okay? And then what sort of landed was socialism, right? And it's been in the last close to 50 years, I'd say 40 some odd years, if I'm not mistaken, of socialist regime. And maybe within the other 10 years, like a center left, right? Right now we have a center right. You know, and because of our history with Salazar and fascist dictator, everybody thinks anything on the right, they associate immediately with that time, right? That time. And it's not quite fair because, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that, like, everything's kind of shifted, right? And what used to be the right is probably the center right now, right? And what used to be a liberal is like more of a radical liberal mentality. People have their own opinions on things and they see the world the way they see things. And I see the world the way I see things, you as well. But you know, it's in Portugal, I think Portugal was, the fourth highest corruption rate in Europe. Okay. Think about that, right?
Like, I think we were at least behind the Italians.
Yeah. Yes. No, no, no.
No?
No, no.
No?
No. We were behind the Eastern Bloc, like Romania.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, okay. Like, not good. But in any case, man, like
things. I haven't been to the Azores in, I think the last year I was there was like 2 years before the pandemic started. Everything seemed fine then. So I don't know what it's like now. And I just assume that the Azorean countries, the islands, like they kind of on their own, right? They are and they aren't, right? But I don't see a lot of that happening when I was last there, and I've been there several times, and I just don't see it unless they maybe leave the islands alone, unless it's Madeira, which is a different story, right?
They don't leave the islands alone.
They don't leave them alone.
No, they don't. Holy it's shit. It's the same thing, man. It's the same thing. And
I want to ask you today, like, you're Leona, right? So what about the new kids that are coming into the union? How are they?
Well,
how long you been with them?
I haven't been in the unions for 10 years.
Okay.
But what I noticed and stories my boss would tell me, like, manhole repair is hard.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shoveling. You're shoveling in the morning, you're digging dirt out. You're shoveling in the afternoon, you're digging or you're putting asphalt in. Your shovel is your best friend. Jacked, man. Like I have like for jiu-jitsu, man, like my grip is like ridiculous. Just gripping that shovel all the time.
Did you get the shovel with the assistant hand thing that they're trying to pedal now?
No. It was old school shovel, man. And when it would break, we'd smash that thing.
Shovel with two handles on it to make it easier on your back.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to pedal
it's
now.
It's just going to wreck another part of your back.
That's all it's going to do.
That's all it's going to do.
Yeah.
There's no shoveling that's not going to wreck your back if you're doing it, because it's a repetitive task. Yeah, if you're in a repetitive task, like...
Yeah.
But the stories I would hear was, guys would start in the morning and in the afternoon they'd go home. They'd be like, I can't do this.
They would quit?
They would quit.
I've heard those stories
before. 'Cause man, we were digging out, sometimes 30 manholes in a day. In a day, dude. So that's 30 manholes digging out and then
backfill.
And then backfill with asphalt and gravel, right?
Stop being chained to your construction company. That's what Revelate delivers to contractors like you who are trying to figure out AI and automations. I hear it all the time with guys I talk to, and it sounds like they spend way more time on things that waste money. Here's how Revelate does it. They study your business. They build custom AI software and automation tech to fit your process. They train you and your staff so you can save 50% of your time on the stuff that slows you and your projects down. You got into the trades to build things, not to be buried under endless admin work and broken systems. I know every day feels like you're solving the same problems instead of moving forward. That's why Revelate was created. They grew up in the construction industry and have been a part of it for more than 15 years. They know the grind and they work to fix it. Within weeks, you and your team and your business are saving half of your time on the stuff that keeps you from getting home and enjoying life. No more nights buried in the paperwork, just more time building and living. Stop being stuck in chaos. Let Revelate help you build something better. Book a demo. It's an easy chat and it's free. Book time now. www.revelate.com or on IG at revelate.inc or call them at 416-474-5755. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
I saw one of my coworkers get hit in the head by a car as he's parging the interior of a manhole. Helmet went flying. People have no patience for construction workers.
Was there not any pylons around it or
something? There were pylons, man.
They just weren't paying attention.
They're not paying attention. I swear some of them have it out for us. Because you hear them, right? Like you hear them.
Like you're the fault of the traffic.
Yes, right? Meanwhile, like it's infrastructure.
Yeah.
Right? I remember in Rosedale one day, 7 o'clock. Once 7 o'clock hits, the hammer is going on the Bobcat.
Who's coming out and complaining?
Oh my goodness,
man. Everybody.
Like not everybody, but like some people like.
You know who's not coming out? The Filipino nannies.
No.
Yeah, that's a jab at you guys hiring certain people. Yes, it is. They're the ones raising your children. I get it.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, we Portuguese people clean their house.
I know, you know? I know. Listen, I love Filipino food.
Hey, I love Filipino people.
Yeah.
Man, they're like...
They're some of the nicest people ever.
Hardest working too, right? Man.
I know.
But they'd come out like, usually like men come out like, you can't make this amount of noise. We're going to call the mayor.
We're going to call the mayor.
And they call the mayor. They call the mayor's office. And we'd get a call from our office to
saying what?
Saying...
put the silencers on?
No, just, you know, do what you can to do your best to keep it down. Dude, it's a hammer on a Bobcat. There's no, you know, you can't muffle that. It was absurd, man. And then, you know, like if shit backs up into your house, then you'll be upset. You'll be calling the mayor again. But for the young people, I feel like there's a new wave of young kids that are more keen on or are keen again on the trades.
Yeah.
And I think there was a time where a lot of kids weren't, but I feel like this new group of kids are more keen on the trades. There's money in trades.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course.
There's six figures in trades now, yeah. Which is unheard of, okay? Especially if you can build your own business, right?
And with the tools of today, you can find out what to do, what not to do.
Exactly.
So then you can make a lot of money.
You know, like how many YouTube videos can you watch with horror stories or people like you, for example, who have a YouTube video and you educate the younger kids on what to expect and what not to expect. Yeah, like, yeah. Dude, we didn't have that.
Nope.
Right. You know what to expect after time of being on the job. But I feel like the kids nowadays, I'll give you an example is wrestling enrollment when I started. Okay. So in late 2008, early 10s, wrestling enrollment was, man, I'd walk into schools and I'd be like, oh man, I can't wait to walk into this school because I have like, I'm going to have six or seven wrestlers in my class. They all understand what it is that I'm doing. You know, they're not like all like, ooh, I got to be so close to this dude and blah, 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 which happens, right? Which happens. And then the coaches are like, we don't even have a wrestling program anymore. And that is an indication of not just the kids, but the parents of the kids, the helicopter parents, right?
Yeah.
The ones who don't want their kids.
Everybody gets a trophy parent.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
You know, outside of a wrestling tournament, I used to go to all the wrestling tournaments. Outside of the wrestling tournament, it's two ambulances.
Makes
they're,
sense
they're
to
there.
Me.
Yeah,
it
man.
Makes sense.
Broken limbs, broken arms, broken legs, neck. Like, they're there, man.
It makes sense.
But the kids were just like savages, dude. I'd go into some schools in Brampton. I'd be like, what are they putting in the water here, man? These kids are fucking incredible. Incredible athletes, okay? Shout out to Coach Kelman up at, he was at Heart Lake Secondary.
Okay.
Runs a program called Raw, Real Amateur Wrestling. This dude put out, like he was part of the, when the Pan Ams were here, was part of our national wrestling team, coaching team.
Wow.
Just, man, just group of savage kids, man, that I loved, man. Just loved to like mix it up with them. But then now it's like, there's no enrollment. And even like my program, which I still run, you know, the teachers got to sort of chase the parents for money. Cause it's not paid by the school board. It's no. paid by parents. So
but then the parents are reluctant to even pay because they don't want to go.
Because, you know, some kids are like, oh, my mom doesn't want me to do it. Or my dad doesn't want me to do it. And in my mind, I'm like, which parent doesn't want their kid to learn self-defense? Right. So the teacher gets on the phone. The teachers who are like solid teachers, man, like they get on the phone because they see the value in what we're doing, yeah. right? They get on the phone and they're like, they call the parents the next day, the kid's on the mat. Sometimes the parents are like, what? I didn't even know there was self-defense.
But it's not even the defensive part of it or the learning the defensive part of it. Mm. It's learning the discipline part of
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
A good friend of mine back in high school days, we used to joke all the time, right? Because he was always running around in garbage bags. He had to make his weight. Right.
Yes,
he had
yes.
to compete. Right. Yep. So he was like, we would go for a jog and run.
Yeah.
I would cycle. He would run and he put the garbage bag on.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got to drop two. I have to drop two for the weigh in. Right.
Yeah.
But he was very good at what he was doing. He made it a far distance. But it's like, why are you getting rid of this shit? There's no reason to get rid of this shit.
And it's they do it so easily, right? Like, I'll give you an example. In the United Arab Emirates, they teach jiu-jitsu from grade 1 to grade 12. Okay?
Wow.
By the time high school's done, you're a black belt. In Japan, it's judo.
Wow.
It's right in the school curriculum, right? In the United States, it's not in the curriculum, but wrestling is huge in the United States. But there was a time not too long ago that wrestling was, they were going to take wrestling out of the Olympics, right? Not too long ago.
Okay? And what, replace it with breakdancing? Yeah, I'm making that joke exactly,
yeah.
right?
Well, yeah. I mean, and I love breakdancing, but come on, not at the expense of wrestling, okay?
That's unfortunate, man.
Yeah, man, it's ridiculous. You know, like, when you do hard things, man, like full honesty, man, those 4 years I spent doing manhole repair were arguably the four hardest years of my life. You know how much growth for me there was in those 4 years, Manny? I can't even tell you, dude.
I imagine, man.
Right?
Seriously.
And like, it's not like I'm afraid of work, right? But it was hard work, okay? And I have this perspective. The perspective was, whether it's right or it's wrong, it's just the way I look at things. My parents came here to Canada. I was born in Portugal. My dad came here to Canada. My mom came here to Canada.
When they come here?
74.
Okay. 78, yeah.
Yeah. My dad immediately goes into construction.
Of course.
Right? When we talk about his days in construction, the man lights up. Okay. But did my dad come here so that I could then do the same thing he did? Right. And look, I'm in construction.
Yeah.
Like even till this day, I'm in construction. It's not a shot against construction, but I've always been an entrepreneur. And the entrepreneur in me was like, what the fuck are you doing here? Mm. Like, what are you doing here? So in my mind, I'm like, how can you monetize this? What kind, what are you learning here that you can monetize, right? Like, so I was thinking like, oh man, you know, like I could buy a Bobcat, or I could buy, even recently I was just at a LO Congress, Landscape Ontario show.
Landscape in January. Yeah.
I was just there and they have
this shit this year.
I have a few, I got a few leads out of there. It was fine.
Good.
But they have a whole section with machinery. So I walked over there and, you know, talked to a few guys about buying a machine. But I'm always trying to find a way to like monetize things to man, like not have to be on the shovel.
Of course.
Okay. Like, yeah. Man, it, like I said, there was a lot of growth there, but I didn't want to be shoveled. That's not what I saw myself doing. Right. I was a personal trainer before that. Even that, I'm like, what am I going to do? I have to be at a gym every day, blah, 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 blah. Like, no. So this brings me like to the whole reinvention of myself. And like, you know, I've tried this, I've tried that. And if you've heard any entrepreneur talk, you've heard them say the failures are many.
Of course.
And then you finally hit one and it's like, wow, okay, I'm here, right? Like, and you embody it and it's like, you feel like this is, you're doing all the work. It's a formula. It's discipline. It's hard work. It's not giving a shit what people think. Yep. All those things, right? And now I'm at the point where I feel really good about what I'm doing. And you know, I'm just doing my best out here, you know?
I think the old man, it was similar to my dad. He wanted you to be in construction, but he wanted you to be in a different version of construction.
Right.
What I mean, but he didn't want you to do all that backbreaking hard labor. Mm-hmm. If there was a way that you could figure out how to be in construction, because technically speaking, you're associated with construction now regarding the Portuguese products,
of course.
Right?
Of course.
So you're in bed in construction.
Exactly.
You're working with people that are directly linked to construction.
Absolutely.
So it's like he wanted you to be in construction, but in a different version of
yes.
it.
Yes.
And that's exactly what you've done.
Yes.
And that's all that they could wish. And it's the same thing with you. If you've got kids and it's the same idea, if they have an interest in being in construction, and I don't have any kids, but I would say to them, I was going, figure out a better version of construction if you want to be in construction.
Yes.
Because there's always a better version of construction.
100%.
That's how I look at it, right?
And you know, it's interesting, especially like with natural stone. It is that's construction. Like I'm trying to like I'm working on things like where I'm cladding the interior the exterior of a huge building, right? Like that's construction, man. You know what I mean? I need to know certain things, but I also need to know like some math, and all that is not my strength, right? Like I didn't do well in school. School for me was hell.
Listen,
school
is not a good system.
Right.
Right. And it is a system, right?
Yeah.
And I look at it like the moment you leave school, that's when life school starts, right?
Yes, exactly.
So then you should be paying attention to how well did you do in life school?
Yeah.
Because sitting at a desk and answering questions and memorizing shit and being polite and all this other crap, that's okay. That's great if you want to be a monkey. Everybody wants to be a monkey in a cage. But it's not until you actually start calling your own shots and cause an effect of something that happened going on and you figure out how to fix it, or how to get ahead of it, or how to get past it.
Yeah.
That's school.
Yeah.
In my eyes, right?
No, 100%. That's how I look at it. You know, and there's a whole new school of thought surrounding what you just explained, and it's called experiential learning, right? Where companies will assess whether they'd hire you based on not just your schooling, but how much actual experience you have in the real world, right? And often that's much more like your learning curves are like this, right? As opposed to a more incremental, you know, increase. But
what is it? Is it Bruce Lee? I don't fear the man who's
10,000 kicks,
10,000 men versus I fear the man who's kicked one man 10,000 different ways, right?
So it's the opposite.
It's the other way. Yeah, the other way around.
It's knowing how to kick one way 10,000 times.
Yes.
Yeah. versus and it's 10,000 different kicks.
That's what I'm saying, is like a different version of construction. So they learned it a certain way. We learned it a certain way. Mm-hmm. The next generation is going to learn it another way.
Yeah.
You're getting a lot of technology being incorporated into construction now.
Yeah.
You have to figure that out. But also, you like with today's technology and the reach that you have, I love this show because I can communicate with someone halfway around the world, and I have communicated with people halfway around the world, talk about their version of construction. So it just, it educates you at that point.
Yeah,
and that's, I think, more valuable than going to a traditional school sense, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I'll give you an example. For me, learning about stone and tile, tile's a little simpler, but learning about stone, it's quite technical. Often, like, my not ineptitude, but like my lack of understanding stone, because I'm just learning this stuff, it shows.
Yeah.
So I show a certain level of vulnerability. That's part of my reinvention, right? And embracing that versus making that or letting that prevent me from doing what I want to do. That's the difference. And that's like kind of what I want to like convey to people. I'll go in front of, you know, 30 people, they ask me questions. I have no idea what the answer is. And I'll be like, I'll get back to you.
That's exactly what I say.
I'll get back to you.
And but then if I do know the answer, I'll share it.
Of course. Right. And then there are people who know all the answers. And if they're going to stand in front of 30 people, they can't, right? Like they can't do it. Like they're nervous. They stumble all over their words. Yeah. They can't, they
forget,
like they forget stuff. Right. Whereas I go in there, man, I show my vulnerability. I'm a genuine person. Everybody picks up on that and everybody's okay with, I'll have to get back to you on that. Right. You know, how many times I schedule meeting with, I schedule meetings with the guys in Portugal. Like if it's a big player here, I'll schedule a meeting and I'll have a Teams call and I'll let these two big wigs talk it out. Right.
You just take notes.
I'll take notes. Right.
Like
I'm working on some huge stuff here, man. It's just, I'm on the cusp of things and I don't want to like, I want it to like all materialize. And then, you know, who knows? Maybe if one day you have me back, I'll be able, it'll be a different story.
Back anytime.
You know?
Introducing Alt Labor Solutions, the game changer for contractors and laborers. Are you a contractor needing skilled labor or have labor in need of quick shifts? Or how about buying, selling, or renting tools, material, and equipment? Connect easily with contractors and find resources hassle-free through Alt Labor Solutions online platform. Post job listings with project details, browse public resumes, and choose the right person for the job. Explore their job board for new opportunities and connect with top talent. Alt Labor Solutions revolutionizes the labor industry with a user-friendly interface, secure payments, and a supportive team. Visit them at altlaborsolutions.com and start connecting with other contractors today. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. I want to ask you, because I'm a fan of the volcanic rock.
Okay.
And I see it on the islands all the time.
Yes.
In different formats. A lot of it has to do with pavers and cladding on exterior walls and stuff like that. I want to see it here in Canada, man. I don't know how it's going to react with Canadian snow, winters. I don't know. I think it can be used interiorly.
Interior, you know, for sure.
I mean, I love that stone, that volcanic rock. Fashioned and manufactured, and the way it looks against natural wood.
Oh, yeah.
It looks against mahoganies or teaks. Yeah. And I'm like, even thermery, right? This stuff like this, it's just, it reacts really well. And I'm like, I get that it's very porous. It's got a lot of holes in it.
Yes.
So you can't use it in shower applications,
no.
But you could use it in places. And I would love to see that here, man.
Yeah. Like maybe decoratively.
Yeah.
In some cases, that's interesting. Because I don't know, like, I'll give you an example. We have, with the tile line, we have a volcanic clay, a black clay that we use.
Really?
It's actually, like, one of the top things on my Instagram right now. You'll see the color. You'll see it's glazed. It's got its glaze. But if you look underneath it, it's a
which
black.
Which one is it?
See the color one? Maybe the third or fourth.
Oh, no, this one here, you're talking about?
No, it's already glazed. It's got colors on it.
You're talking about slivers. This stuff?
Yes.
That's
volcanic clay.
Really?
Yes, that's volcanic clay. And so the texture is, it's not smooth, right? It's very nice, man. It's very nice. And to use it in an interior, where there's no...
That's pretty nice, man.
And even the glazes come out differently, right?
And it's all volcanic clay based?
Yeah, volcanic clay. Yep. That's right there. Like I hashtagged it volcanic.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was developed by, that line there was developed by a Portuguese architect.
Yeah. See, even these partitions, these bricks.
Love those.
Like I love seeing, I made mention of Indonesian. They have the red clay bricks that are not your standard size. They've got some geometric faces to them.
Yeah.
And when you soldier bond them together,
yes,
they create this pattern.
Yes.
And I was like, I want to see that in Canada. I want to see it. Like, I want to see it in Port. I want to see it elsewhere.
Oh, the Indonesian.
I get it. Yeah.
The Indonesian breeze blocks. And even just their ceramics is fucking stunning.
That's why
beautiful stuff, man.
The Canadians and the Americans are really missing out on opportunities of material that they're probably, for the most part, you're starting to get them in here. Mm-hmm. But I bet you that there's a lot of other materials that nobody really knows how to get to the people because they're so stuck in their ways with white oak and just, you know what I mean? The standard porcelain slabs. And
there's an Italian company called Mutina. Mutina's arguably like the top ceramic company out of Italy. Okay. Their lines are
stunning. Eh?
Beautiful.
Yeah. Okay.
Beautiful. And because now I don't think that this is new for them, but they work with a lot of designers, industrial designers. A lot of what you've just mentioned, like unique looking breeze blocks, like those are more, they're not traditional. Like when you're in the Azores, I'm sure you see breeze blocks, right?
I love it.
The tops of fences and so on and so forth.
Love it.
Brazilians were the ones who started that. Cobogó.
I could see that.
Cobogó is the Portuguese term for a breeze block.
Okay.
And it's two letters from each guy who developed it. There are three architects. Cobogó. I can't remember their names right now. Yeah. But it's beautiful stuff. I love those. But what Mutina has is this new age breeze block it's beautiful.
Man. You know what I think it is? Like, I think a lot of Canadians don't like that word ceramic. And I love ceramic.
Oh, I love ceramics.
I love, especially when it's glazed and the color.
100%.
Like I just, if it's done a certain way and you get the artisan attached to it, I love seeing that knowledge has been handed down to a younger generation and they're still doing it in the same old way of doing things.
Yeah.
I love all that stuff. But I think that today's customer here in North America, they think the word ceramic is cheap.
Right.
And because that's what we all grew up with. And I ain't talking about, we grew up with ceramic with fruits on it. And I get it. Mm-hmm. That was the backsplash. I understood that shit, right? And yes, that was cheap and cheerful and that's how it was done.
If it was engineered.
Yeah.
If it was hand,
it was different. It was like, you could see the detail. But like anything in construction, mass produce the hell out of this and just get it out there. And then you basically devalue it at that point.
100%.
Right? But I think that a lot of clients now, they rather tell their friends it's marble, it's porcelain, it's quartz.
Right.
It's, you know, whatever it is, right?
Quartzite, yes, not quartz.
I know.
People are moving away from quartz.
They are now because there's a lot of, they're seeing, oh, you ain't so perfect after all.
No, and it's hard to work with.
You never were.
Hard to work with. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they it's like even like a lot of this engineered stone. It's all this, they greenwash the shit out of it.
I know, right? But you travel. So like, doesn't anybody travel and you realize you go into these structures that you admire and the wear and tear and all these footsteps
minimal.
And the front steps. And like, it's just, it's there. It's patina. It's part of it. That's exactly how it works.
Yep.
And your home should have the exact same.
Exactly. Thing. Exactly. No, like, I agree.
Everybody wants a museum.
Yeah.
They want a photographic museum is what they want.
Right.
Like if you want that, then go move into a museum if you want. But that's not what you want.
And, you know, I think that designers are like ceramics are making a big comeback.
Hopefully.
And I think that the closer we move towards AI and everything being very digitalized, everything being perfect, like there are tiles that are supposedly hand painted, but every tile is exactly the same. So it has a hand painted stroke, but every tile is exactly the same. So like, it's not hand painted, because when you hand paint something, no two tiles are the same.
It was hand photographed, I guess, or something.
Yeah, it's printed, right?
Yeah, it's a print.
It's a print. And but the artisanal, what people need to understand, and what I'm having difficulty with, is some of the larger distributors, they want what sells, right? And artisanal is niche. And so it's hard for them to sell that artisanal factor to people, right? For one, when people are building homes these days, you know this, like, how long do these people anticipate to live in that home?
That's the problem,
right? Not long. They know within, especially because the way the market is,
yeah,
right? 5 years. So why are they going to personalize something so personal, right? Like, man, my own home would have like green tiles and, you know, not necessarily a traditional tile or motif, but definitely.
There was, I saw one on yours, and I'm a huge, I think I saw glazed green.
Okay. With the
horizontal, was it vertical? I'm trying to remember what it was, but I saw, and I was like blown away by it. And I'm like, that's what I want to see more of, right? But clients are not like that. They don't, where was the great, there was a glazed green tile.
It's not too far down if it's the ones I think are recent.
Maybe it was on the website, on your website. I think it was on your website.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was similar to this, right?
Right. Yes. But
like,
yes.
I mean, like that to me is stunning. Like that. Stunning. I can see, you know, like there's this couple in Brooklyn that I follow. I just found them, Brownstone Rentals, and they just did a post where they did a bathroom, and it was like a very similar tile to that.
Interesting.
Green glazed with gold fixtures, right?
Okay.
Surface mounted with the rod going up to the head shower. And I was like, it's modern, but it's classic, and it's inviting, and it's gorgeous, in my opinion, man.
Yeah, I agree, man. And, I said, my job and my role is letting people understand that like these beautiful products made in an artisanal way are available for you, right? And what I've seen even from the larger designers is they're looking for artisanal work, especially because we do a lot of bespoke work. So a lot of the tiles we'll make for architects and designers they're unique. We can't sell those. We've made them specifically for those for that company, right? We made a tile for a company called Zimmerman on Madison Avenue, and it's basically our roof tile, the clay one, the red ones,
yeah,
but glazed, and it just butts up beautifully,
wall application
for pillars, right? Because they're right.
I could totally see that.
You know, we just
so they glaze them and then they bake them.
Yes, you add the glaze and then you bake them. And
it looks nice.
It's stunning, man. And you know, when you start to go down the artisanal road, and you're not looking people don't want perfection. There's too much perfection out there, right? And there's an answer for that. The answer is let people touch it with their hands, right?
Then you'll experience it.
Then you'll get that artisanal look. There's much more value to that.
These same couples that are traveling and then they buy a fixer upper and they uncover some of the past, and then they spend so much time and effort trying to salvage those tiles that were uncovered. That's what I'm talking about.
That's exactly what should be doing all over Portugal right now.
But the other problem I have is that I think you also probably come across this as a challenge as well. Along with these tiles and these stones and these other materials that you're using that are more unique and have more character will last longer in this dwelling, the installer must charge a little bit more because there's more care involved in here, right? Now you have to figure out, so if you got this tile, whatever you want to call it, it could be that specific tile, it could be a subway, it's specific, whatever, 3 inches wide, 9 inches tall, or whatever it is, and you're doing it, and now the wall that it's going on in whatever application is maybe an inch short, now you got to pad in that wall, you need that tile to land perfectly. So now there's extra work, extra effort. So you got to understand, as a client, you're going to pay a little bit more for the material, you're also going to pay a little bit more for the install, because you need an artist to install the artisan work.
Exactly.
That's it, man. Simple as that.
And you know, it's it's a partnership, right? It's a partnership. Yeah. So like, man, I've reinvented myself so many times.
What age did you come up with? Like you started thinking, I got to do this. Like what happened? Was there something specific happened or?
No, I was 49 and, it was like I just came off two seasons of Titans and I was like, just worn down, man, like worn down to a nub, right? Man, every day within the first 3 minutes of arriving at work, I'm already laughing my head off with the guys I work with. Mm-hmm. The first 3 minutes, almost guaranteed. That makes it bearable. That makes it okay, right? That makes it okay. And I love these guys, man, but it's not just what I see for myself, right? Like I see big things for myself. Like that's just what I haven't told you is in my mid 20s, I started an office chair manufacturing company.
Okay.
And I had preferred vendor for Best Western across Canada. I was selling to the American government. I was selling to TRW. I was selling to Northrop Grumman.
Okay.
I was selling chairs into Texas, the Carolinas. Okay. 9/11 happened. Boom.
Just everything changed.
Everything changed, dude. It's not like how things are right now. Like everybody gets very protectionist. Everybody's like, buy Canada now and buy United States. And like, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Especially as Canadians.
Yeah.
Right. Like good luck with that. That's why when I hear politicians with their tit for tat, like, what are you, stupid? Like,
we back in the playground here?
This is a bear.
Yeah.
You're poking the bear? Like, come on, man. If they want to crush us, they'll crush us. Yeah. Whichever way imaginable, right? I just laugh when I hear, like, Doug Ford and people are applauding him, like, oh, way to go. Like, this is what we need. Like, what do you mean this is what we need? We need diplomacy. We need negotiating. Like, that's what we need. Not fucking tit for tat.
No.
We're going to take your liquor off our shelves.
My thought is that Trump did what he did just to fucking rattle Trudeau and get Trudeau. He did it to get rid of Trudeau.
Well, yeah, I believe that definitely played a role. It's
the beginning of the end of getting rid of Trudeau.
Yeah.
That's what it was, right?
I agree. That's just one thing, right?
Yeah.
I think the word rattle you used is precisely what, because everybody's rattled.
Because we saw how he reacted to it and I was like, okay, that's our spokesperson.
Yeah. But yeah. Even Doug Ford, dude.
Oh, it's the same
thing. Like Doug Ford, like he's a conservative.
Listen, give me his brother any day, man. I'll take a crack smoking mayor having plenty to eat at home over him any day. I'll get, you know what I mean? Like,
no, I've heard that many times,
man.
I know,
right? It's just, it's a shame, right? So
yeah, we come across as like these very polite, you know, but the whole time we've been taking advantage of the situation with the United States where they protect us.
Yeah.
We piggyback them off them in like numerous ways. Excuse me. Like it's
in the last 10 years, if we were internalizing Canada and making our own country great to begin with, and I'm talking about digging out West and digging out East, and we actually were selling quite a bit of stuff to other countries, there would be no tariff threat.
No.
Period.
No, and the border is a big issue for him.
Yeah,
right?
It is, because now you can't get into America and you can only get in through America through Canada because it's a shit show.
Didn't they just find like a Breaking Bad style fentanyl lab?
Making, I heard about that, yeah.
Making like what the fuck?
Man? I don't
like,
understand any politician that justifies legalizing this whole fentanyl bullshit.
Someone's advocating for that shit? That's ridiculous,
I don't understand, man. How that's not even a conversation.
Yeah, that's ridiculous,
I don't get it, right? So I don't mind Trump and all of his executive orders and what he's been signing. I was like, I agree with it. I saw some post where he was painting over the wall with all the diversity, inclusion, equity words that were used at the FBI. I was like, why the fuck were they even put up to begin with? So it's just, everyone knows me. I don't agree with DEI.
Yeah,
so
no, it definitely has its shortfalls.
Just get your skills, man. Go learn. There's a whole world out there. You got, watch YouTube. You got people learning how to speak English from watching YouTube videos. Go learn. Go get some skills. Go do something. That's
reinvent yourself.
That's simple as that. There's so much opportunity if you get a hold of it. And then who gives a shit if people think you're full of shit or whatever? Like, who gives a shit if people are going to say you're doing a shit job? Don't bother doing that. You'll never succeed. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Just do it in silence and get it done. You do one little thing extra every single day, you'll be that much further ahead.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Attention homeowners and businesses. Are you looking for top-notch electrical contracting services you can trust? Consider the expert tradesperson behind Effect Electric LTD. They take pride in delivering quality, service, and professional installation on time and on budget. From Kohler generators to main service upgrades or network data installation, they do it all. With years of experience and a commitment to excellence, Carlo and his team at Effect Electric LTD are your go-to professionals for all your electrical and generator needs. Effect Electric LTD is an authorized Kohler home energy generator dealer. Kohler has air-cooled 26 RCA units, the quietest, the most powerful, and exceptionally durable generator with 109 amps max power on liquid propane. Custom color options, camouflage options, and every generator Kohler makes is built to last and is equipped with a commercial-grade engine. Call Effect Electric LTD today at 416-508-7725 or visit them at effectelectricltd.kohlergeneratordealer.com. Let's build something great together. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Things are obviously changing. You know, things are obviously changing. I mean, it looks like Pierre will be the next prime minister. Almost everybody I know is you know, pretty much fucking tired of Trudeau. So, you know, let's see, man. Let's hope that there's some change and it's not, you know, a bunch of smoke and mirrors, right? Like,
I hope so.
You know,
I hope so. I think we need a blue collar party, but that's a whole other world, right? Mm-hmm. I think we need a blue collar party that really gets rid of all the corruption that's in this country, because Canada is just a cesspool of it.
Yeah.
And they just continue doing it. They're getting away with it. Ford called the election now because he knew that if he does it now, he'll get away with it. And then he'll get his extra years now. Same thing that Trudeau did when he called the last election.
I don't understand why he just called an election.
Because he knows that he'll win now, because Trudeau is on his way out. Mm. And if he waits until that moment, there's not a good chance that he'll get win then.
Okay.
Politicians don't act to help us. They act to help themselves.
Right. Yeah.
I've never seen a single... And Pierre is a barking dog, in my opinion. Mm. I love dogs. But at some point, they need to stop barking, and if they're going to continue to bark, they better fucking bite.
Dude, I heard that Trump is tinkering with the idea of eliminating income tax.
In all of America?
In all of the federal income tax.
Listen.
What the?
UAE.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But they have we have oil too. Like, Alberta never had a GST or PST. Which one?
I think that's PST. That's the core of the corruption is all the tax collection.
Yeah.
You got Canadians here that are in 53% tax brackets, right? You got construction people that are trying to thrive in 53% tax bracket.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just stupid to even think that you make 500 grand, 250 plus goes away to a corrupt system.
Yeah.
That's just dumb.
Yeah.
When we know that we can sustain our infrastructure on all sales tax, a realistic sales tax, even ours at 13 in this province is bullshit, but I have no problem. But I think it should be a zero income tax.
Right.
That's what I think for all Canadians, every single one. And I also think that if you turn 65, you don't pay tax on anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You paid your dues.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one for sure, man.
There's a bunch of shit. Like, all these young people are going to be old people one day. Mm-hmm. There is no pension for me and you. Mm-hmm. There's definitely no pension for this next generation that's coming up. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we're all on, like, you guys are on your own, man. Because most construction, if you're with the union, great. You got pension coming out of that. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be enough to sustain you? We don't know, right?
Yeah.
But I also know that a lot of construction people are getting out. They're not staying until 60, 65.
Yeah.
They're not hanging out until that age, right? They want to get out and do something else that's going to make them more money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got to see what happens. I just don't like how everyone that's in power is taking advantage of what they can do.
Of course. And that's politics on a whole, man. It's unfortunate. You know,
if I was Pierre on the other side there, when Parliament was open, I would have really made a threat to go punch Trudeau there. And I don't give a shit if that would have kicked me out of parliament. That's where we're at. You know what I mean? That is where we are at.
Right.
Like, we're in a playground.
Right,
and,
right.
And that's what we did as kids. If someone fucking started shit with you, you push, you shove, you punch.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, I told you to shut the hell up. Like, yeah. Nobody answers questions. Nobody answers questions. You ask a direct question, nobody answers it.
Even when Pierre is stating his case and he's like laughing all the time, it's like, dude, like this is not serious, funny, man. This is not funny. This is
absolutely very, very serious.
Very serious.
You guys are all getting your pensions. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. I think every member of parliament's pension should be a reflection of the lowest pension handed out to a Canadian citizen. Mm. So if you want a pension that's higher, then guess what? Raise the pension to everybody else that's in Canada.
Right, right.
It should be a reflection.
Yeah.
No, you got Jerkoff Singh there. He's like waiting out his $2 million pension, mm-hmm. which he's going to get soon. That's right. All he did. That's not fair. That's not a fair, like old age security, all this other money, like the pennies that Canadians that have worked all their lives are getting is just not sustainable.
Dude, and even their salaries, man. Like, think of the head of the CBC is at, what, 300 and some odd thousand? Like,
CBC,
it's like,
if Pierre doesn't take a wrecking ball to that building and dismantle that whole thing.
It's a nice building, man. I've
on
been
day one, I'd destroy that building. I would want to do a Vegas style. We haven't seen this in a while. I would want to do a Vegas style implosion of that building. I would love to, like, boom, 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 and then have it drop, and then just have this carnage of that CBC sign right on Front Street there, and then that, make that the front page of every fucking, you know, that's what I want to see.
Yeah.
That to me is like, okay, we're fed up now. We're totally fed up now.
Yeah.
We need our country back. Country that was built by immigrants. The unfortunate thing is that too many immigrants have come in here. Way too many of them. Mm-hmm. I don't even give a shit about it's all one group of people. Just way too many of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I missed a different... Greektown is not Greektown anymore.
Right.
The only one that's Chinatown is still Chinatown.
Yeah.
Right? But Greektown's not... Literally, Portuguese... It's not... They're not... They all been infiltrated. Like, go to Ossington now. Holy cow.
Yeah,
I want to punch all those people there, right? Because they're selling $9 croissants, right?
Yeah.
There's still some good there. Yeah. But parts of me misses, you know, the Vietnamese karaoke bars that gunfire ensued, you know, when someone complained about someone singing there and then all of a sudden SWAT came out.
Yeah.
And I got stuck in some of that shit. That's how I remember Ossington.
Yeah.
I get it, but I don't understand how these businesses are thriving financially speaking.
Some of them are and some of them aren't. I know a restaurant owner, the owner of Paris Paris on Ossington.
Yeah.
Portuguese woman, smart, doing things right.
They closed the bakery down right at Lisgard.
Yes. Yeah. My dad owned the pool hall there.
Oh, yeah.
My dad owned Portugal Billiards from 1986 maybe to 92.
Remember the car dealership, the used car dealership?
Yeah.
What was the name of that one?
Assurge.
That's right.
Yeah.
And now it's a stupid condo.
Yeah. And the beer store across the street. Yeah. On Dundas, near Caldense, next to Caldense.
I know. All those hipsters dudes, they just love it there, right?
Yeah.
They have no idea any about the culture there.
Yeah.
They don't know a shit about the culture.
My dad's pool hall was where the garrison is, literally where the garrison still is.
Is that one? I think there's still that one Portuguese shop at the top there at Dundas in Ossington.
There's Papelaria.
Yeah. It's still there.
It's like a bookstore. Yeah, that's a holdout. But what's good is... like there are a few Portuguese businesses that are not run like Portuguese or like old Portuguese businesses, but they're owned by the sons and daughters of people who bought buildings back in the day. And they've turned it into something not Portuguese per se, but still, they're still there, which is good. I mean, Ossington is always like, I like going by there and I drive by Dundas all the fucking time. I drive by Dundas, like blasting Amália Rodrigues, man. Straight up, man. People must look at me and be like, look at this guy, man. You know, because it's like, you know, I listen to a lot of hip hop.
Just put the bandana on the hood or on the top of the roof. That's all.
But people, you know, there's still some holdouts there, man. You know, I still see a few guys from high school that are there at the pool hall. I saw one dude, I haven't seen him in years. And there he was standing there. I was going to pull my car over, but I was like, nah, I'm just going to keep going. Say hi to him.
That's why I like Steve Mello and he's doing his shit. And the guy's in his 30s and he's poking fun at the Portuguese tradition. I like all that. I like seeing the Italian as well.
I
want to see more. I'm sure, like, we're all the Asian guys, man. I want to see, like, just, man, that's what I missed from being younger. It's just like we poked fun at everybody.
There are some, maybe not in Toronto. But I love comedy too, man. Right? Like one of my favorite comedians right now is this black kid named Cam Patterson. Man, this kid is the most like unpolitically correct kid imaginable, man. But he's funny, man. And he was on the streets in Florida. Like literally his story is like from drug dealer.
Oh shit.
Basically got like encouraged to like do stand up, did his first stand up, ended up on this show called Kill Tony.
Yeah.
With Tony Hinchcliffe.
Yeah, I know the show.
Yeah, and now he's like,
he's just getting recognized now. He's everywhere.
Dude,
now?
He opened up for Joe.
Really?
He opened up for Joe. He's at the comedy
I gotta check it out,
mothership.
Yeah.
Takes
balls, man.
Man, it takes so much balls. And the things he says.
Yeah.
Like, oh my. And like, Kill Tony is the one place where like, you can say whatever you fucking want. Right? And people are going to laugh. Nobody is taking it serious. When it's done, they're all going to go have drinks. They're all going to go laugh about the things they said. Mm. Tony gets picked on all the time. Man, it's.
But that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Absolutely, man.
I think it's all changing. It's just for the better. That's what it
is,
man.
Yeah. You know, I think that it might be a far stretch, but like it was sort of like a cultural revolution that was happening, like the Maoist cultural revolution, right? Where all the statues being taken down, any tradition, like all that stuff, man. He put the kibosh on it all, man. You know,
if anybody ever suggests to put up a Trudeau statue in this country, I will be the first one taking that fucking
school
thing down.
His father's school is a school named after his father on, I think, Lisgar or Montrose.
No, you're right. There is. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Montrose.
I do the statue thing and I'll take it down, man. I'm sure there's a lot of contractors that would want to take it down as well, too, man.
Yeah.
You know. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. You're welcome. 12 questions with you, man.
Okay, we wrap it up.
Anything else you wanted to talk about?
No,
I'm good. We covered quite a bit, man.
Yeah, totally.
Come back anytime. Promise, man. Do it, honestly.
I'd love to.
It was great meeting you and talking to you, man.
Likewise. So, thank you, Otto.
You ready for this?
Yes.
A person you would trade places with for a day?
Nobody.
Guilty pleasure.
Guilty pleasure, man. I was thinking about that. I like listening to yacht rock.
Okay.
So I'm a yacht rock fan. Big yacht rock fan. Good.
What is your least favorite tool?
The fine tool.
Multi-tool. Biggest risk you ever took?
Biggest risk? Always banking on myself. Like the constant reinvention has been risky. Right, there's been consequences as a result of that, but it's a risk that I've been willing to take. So just banking on my success and myself.
Best compliment you ever got?
Best outside instructor in Peel School Board. Yep, super proud of that one, man.
Do you have to go through teachers' college right now? No, you don't have to do that, right?
Criminal record check, blah 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 blah. Yeah,
good. Favorite beverage?
Ting.
Oh yeah, Ting.
Green
I'm
Ting.
I'm not a big fan of Ting, but
the green Ting.
Yeah.
I love the green Ting. There's a pink one, but mine is the green
one. No, I've only ever seen the green one.
There's a pink
one.
That's
the original one.
Yeah, that's the
pink
original
one. What flavor?
It's grapefruit, but it's it's a little sweeter.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what the difference. When I tasted it, it tasted sweeter than the green one.
I haven't had a red stripe in a while, man.
Red stripe's good.
whatever fails to make you laugh.
Seinfeld, for sure.
What worst piece of advice you ever got?
Be content.
Yeah, I know. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
That's a good one. Profession? I'll go with architect. George Costanza style.
Favorite curse word?
For this.
Favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
Man, I love my car. I drive an Audi.
Which one?
The 5 Series.
The 5 Series?
Yeah.
The last question, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Welcome.
Noodle, man, absolute pleasure having you on the show, man. Thanks so much for reaching out, really, man.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad I did. Thank you.
Wasn't too nerve-wracking?
No, not at all, man.
No. Come back anytime. I'm sure we're going to have more to talk about.
Oh, man, there's so much to talk about.
Anybody interested, just reach out to him at Nuno@PortugueseProducts.ca and then the website as well, www.PortugueseProducts.ca. And his phone number is 416-985-1585. I tell everybody just to text me. It's the best way to communicate with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Feel free. Even though my notifications are off, but just text me. I'll eventually get to you.
Yeah, exactly.
As simple as that. But, man, keep up doing the fight, and I would love to hear more about it. And I'm on your page, man. Totally, I think we need more Portuguese material and all kinds of stuff coming in. And all you young folks out there, just keep embracing the culture, man. Simple as that. Doesn't matter if you're Portuguese or Italian or whatever. Just embrace that old school culture, right? Unfortunately, I never paid attention to my mom making rice pudding.
Mm.
And I'm on the hunt trying to figure out how to make it exactly the way she made it.
Right.
Because everybody's rice pudding is different, right?
Do you have a sister?
Nobody in the family. This is what pisses me off.
Nobody in the family. Aunts, maybe? No way.
No, so like I'm going to probably take it right to the day that I'm finished my own casket. I'll figure out exactly what she put in there. And I'll have it because I've been trying other people's ones, trying to figure it out. Mm. And that's what my mission. I've been like, I got a bunch of little, you build these little missions that you go on in life, right? And I'm like, I'm on this rice pudding thing right now, right? So,
dude, right back. Go to the hometown in the Azores.
That's what I think I might have to do because that's exactly, I think someone there might have the exact same.
For sure.
Because she made it there,
yeah,
and they probably still made it the same way.
100%
came here. I remember as a kid working like stir,
yes,
stir,
yeah, yeah,
stir,
yeah.
But I never paid attention, and I wish I paid attention.
Right,
then I would know exactly what was in there. Yeah. Right.
Nowadays, the kids just put the tripod up and record the entire darn thing.
I don't know any TikTok Portuguese influencers or.
Are they out there?
Are there a bunch of them?
Yeah, they're out there. They're out there for sure. I'm not on TikTok. I don't know shit about TikTok, but.
I am because of the show, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, fair enough, man.
One day I'll be bowing and get the fuck off social media and everyone can go, whatever happened to Maddie?
Yeah.
And leave it at that.
At this point, man, it's important for what you're doing. And you're doing a great job, man. Thanks, you got like almost 100,000 followers. You're That's amazing.
That's something to say.
Absolutely, man.
And that's it. And I like other people got something to say as well, too.
Yeah.
So leave it at that, right?
And good for you for saying what you want to say, right? I'm still a little like, for myself.
I'm not everybody's flavor. I don't give a shit. But if I were to meet people who don't like me or I found that offensive what you said, I was going, okay, good to meet you. Take care.
See you. I hear you.
I don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me at that point, right?
Yeah.
There's like 45 days worth of talking from this show. And I offended you by one statement I made?
Right. Dude, you can't please everybody.
The world doesn't revolve around you.
Yeah.
I like Ricky Gervais's version. You go through the whole world
he thinking that
nobody will ever offend you.
Yeah, exactly.
You get offended all the time.
All the time.
And I love it.
Fuck, I get offended.
We're out of here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it,
Thank you so much, Manny.